Everybody is waiting for Jesus. And I bet you could walk over and say, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. I don't want to bother you at all, but I was just praying for everybody here. And the Lord just kind of marked you out to say that He loves you and He knows what you're going through and He cares. Have a good day. Everybody is waiting for Jesus.
Melankaliki Maka, Merry Christmas, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Christmas is upon us, and in one way or another, everybody is waiting for Jesus. They're waiting for His healing, His words, His assurance, and a genuine touch from God. Today, a message entitled, Everyone is Waiting for Jesus. Here's Pastor Wayne.
Today I want to talk about everybody is waiting for Jesus. It's a realization that I came to, and it's a mindset that every single one of us should have. And I want to encourage and challenge you to have that kind of mindset. We'll talk about that in a second, but first a fun story. There was an aging man that had lost pretty much all of his hearing. And as he's aging, finally he goes, hears about this audiologist. So he goes and gets these super high-tech hearing aids. And he's at lunch with a friend of his who's also aging. His friend says, how's those hearing aids? And he says, oh, these things are absolutely amazing. I can hear perfectly now. I can hear a pin drop across the room. His friend said, whoa, I bet your family must be so happy to hear that. He said, I haven't told them yet. His friend said, why? He said, I just sit around and listen to conversations. He said, why? I've changed my will 3 times in the last week. Everybody's waiting for Jesus. On your notes at the top, we have a scripture out of Luke chapter 8 and verse 40, and I'd like us to read that because that's our key scripture for today. Would you read it with me out loud? Go. And as Jesus returned, the people welcomed him. Why? For they had all been waiting. I want you to take a look again at that verse. They had all been what?
Waiting for him.
I really believe that everybody, in one way or another, is waiting for Jesus. For a touch, for His healing. No, not for religious condescending overtones or turn or burn kinds of conversations. No, a gentle assurance of a genuine touch from God. By the way, God designed it that way. God actually designed that the human heart, apart from His touch, will never be made whole. Blaise Pascal, who's a philosopher and a mathematician, said it this way. In every human heart, there is a God-shaped void that can only be filled with God Himself. We try to fill it with everything else. But in this infinite abyss of a man's heart, it can only be filled by an infinite God. I thought, how true. God designed the human heart that without eternity's touch, it will never be made whole. In fact, the Greek word for being saved, you hear people say, hey, have you been saved yet? Have you received Christ? The word saved is actually the word sozo in the Greek, which means to be made complete, made whole. And so when Jesus comes into your heart, you're finally on your road to being made complete and whole. Without Him, we try to fill it with everything possible, but nothing fits. He designed it that way. Let's read about it in Ecclesiastes 3:11. It just states it perfectly. Read this with me. Go. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. I love the New American Standard. It says this, He has set eternity in the heart of every man and woman. What that means is like God has put a divine homing device, inserted it into our heart, so that when God speaks, something within resonates, it reverberates like that's the voice. That's what I need to hear. And it confirms that God is knocking at the door of your heart. Revelation chapter 3 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anybody hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come in. And that's why I say God's a gentleman. He'll never force his way in. But if you'll open the door and receive him, he'll come in. And all of a sudden, wholeness begins in your life. There's a completeness, something about it. And it's a lifelong adventure and journey with Jesus. But there is a sense of wholeness that comes into our lives. Everybody is waiting for Jesus. Christian and non-Christian. A staff member. Employee. A stranger. They're all waiting for Jesus. Not for another judgment, not for some condescending speech, but they're waiting for a genuine touch of God. Some time ago, my wife and I were golfing, and we went into the golf shop, and I said, we're going to play an 18, and the guy looked at me, and he said, you're Wayne Cordero. I said, yes. He said, can I talk to you for a second? I said, yeah, sure. He said, can we go outside? I said, okay. So I said, honey, you wait. Don't buy anything. And I went outside, and he, for the next 20 minutes, he poured out his heart that he and his mother were estranged. He hadn't spoken to his mother in 5 years, and Mother's Day was coming up the next week. And it was just absolutely killing him. And he said, what do I do? What do I do? And it's something that happened that was crazy and trivial, but they're both a little stubborn, and so they just kind of locked horns and never separated those horns, and they always, for the last 5 years, were just mad at each other. And I said, well, I said, it takes courage, but if you really want healing to start, can I ask you to call her? And I know it's going to be tough, but call her and just say, I'm so sorry. And it doesn't mean that one is right and one is wrong. It has nothing to do with who's right or who's wrong or how much percentage one is right and how much percentage another is wrong. It has nothing to do with judgment. All that does is when you say, I'm so sorry, all you're doing is removing the rubbish so that the flow of relationship can begin again. It removes all of the hindrances so healing can take place. That's it. It's like when you break a bone, a relationship is broken. And before healing can happen, you've got to align those bones back. Now, it's not an instant healing, I said to him, but you just made it possible, didn't you? And that's what forgiveness does. It doesn't change everything and make everything strong again, but it allows it to become strong again. And so until you do that, it's not going to happen. So I laid hands on him and I prayed for him. I remember it was right between the return cart area and the water fountain. And so I laid hands and prayed on this stranger, prayed for him. And the last thing I remember was he turning and saying, got it. That's what I'm going to do today. And as he went back into the clubhouse, I thought, everybody is waiting for Jesus. A touch, an encouragement, an inspiration, direction, something, something. Well, my wife and I got into the cart. We went out, thank the Lord, she didn't buy anything. And we went out, and it was the fourth hole, and this cart, another cart, comes screaming right at us. And it stops right in front of us. I thought, whoa, what's going on? And this very large Samoan man steps out. Now, in Hawaii, when a large Samoan man comes at you at Mach 4 and steps out of a golf cart, you run. Well, I was polarized, and I just stood there. And he came out, and he was looking around like he's looking for surveillance cameras. He's like this, and he says, you're Wayne Cordero. I just want you to know I don't go to your church. I'm a Mormon, but I listen to you on the radio every day. He said, so don't be surprised. You might see me in church. And he got back in his cart and took off. And I started laughing. And I turned to my wife, Anna. I said, everybody is waiting for Jesus, huh? Everybody. People that are Christians, people that are non-Christians. You could stop in Starbucks. And you can just pray for even strangers. Say, Lord, would you just touch these people in this coffee shop? And the Lord might point out somebody to you. And I bet you could walk over and say, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. I don't want to bother you at all. But I was just praying for everybody here. And the Lord just kind of marked you out to say that he loves you and he knows you. what you're going through, and he cares. Just want you to know he loves you very, very much. Have a good day. Now, they might think you're nuts at first, but that will never leave that person all day long. Why? Because it's resonating in their hearts. It reverberates. Why? Because he stuck eternity in the heart of every man, every woman. And when you ring that bell, they go, that's it. That's what I need. Everybody is waiting for Jesus because he set eternity in the heart of every man. Parents, your son and your daughter are waiting for Jesus. Son or daughter, your parents are waiting for a touch from Jesus. Sometime later, this guy right here that's taking pictures, Derek and I were in a local diner in this remote area, and we were going to do a photo shoot, and this lady comes screaming out around from her booth. She was sitting in another booth. She slips in across from me, and she says, I need to say thank you. I said, excuse me? She said, I want to say thank you. You see, I had a heart problem last year. I came to your Easter service and you prayed for me and I went in for surgery and the doctor sent me home. He said, I don't need surgery. And I just wanted to say thank you. And I said, well, don't thank me. I'm just a delivery boy. You see, the one you get to thank is the one who is the giver of all gifts and the one who loves you more dearly than you'll ever know. His name is Jesus. She said, oh, thank you. And then she said, but I have another problem. I said, okay. She said, the police found my sister's car. She was in an accident. And when they found the car, my sister had passed away. And my mother and I have no idea what to do. She put her head down on the table there and began to weep. I laid hands on her and prayed for her and gave her a few words of encouragement and some direction. And when she left, her husband was at the other table and she went to join him. And I turned to Derek and I said, everybody's waiting for Jesus. Everybody. It could be someone that's at the grocery store. It could be someone at the school, another parent that you met. It could be anybody. You say, but I don't know if I can do that. I mean, just whoever? Oh, no. God never just throws you out there at random. Actually, God places people in our lives. Why? Because we had been called to this earth with a purpose. And so he puts people around us, and they're all waiting for Jesus. The question is, will you be his hand extended? Would you be his voice? Would you be that one that God can use? And that's why he sprinkles us, as the Bible says, salt of the earth. He salts us all over. Why? Because the people he wants to reach are also all over. So he distributes us. Acts says this. Let's read it. It's going to come up on the board. It's just such a cool verse. It says, and read it with me, go. From one man, he made every nation of men, that's Adam, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And now he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. Why? God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. What he's saying is, I'm going to put you as a people of God all over this state and all over this county, because there's people out there that are going to seek me and I won't be far from them. Why? Because you'll be right next to them. You'll be in their school. You'll be in their grocery store. You'll be in their marketplace. You'll be in that department. You'll be in that gas station. I'm going to put you all over this place so that when people seek me, I won't be far from any of them. Why? Because I put eternity in their hearts, and without me, they will never be made whole. So would you be my voice? Would you be my hand extended? And watch, because I'll open the door. Now, some of us will say, no, whoa, I'm not Billy Graham. There's no way I can do that. I'm not a talker. I'm kind of an introvert. But God is saying, hey, listen, I will walk with you. How's that? What if you and I do it together? That's what he says in Acts 1:8. Let's read this one up on the scripture board here. It says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. When he says you'll be my witnesses, he doesn't say that you've got to be witness, judge, jury. No, you just give them a little touch. See, sometimes people say, well, I don't know if I can do it. No, no. He's not asking you to make a touchdown. Just a touch, a nudge, a word, an encouragement. Because the people you're going to meet are not just coincidence. Many of them, God set eternity in their heart and they're waiting for a touch. Sometimes we think we've got to plant the seed, grow the plant, harvest it, and then it's okay. No, no, no. The Lord says, no, you be my delivery people. Just plant the seed. Just plant the seed. Just let them know something about me because they needed a touch. And then I'll take care of that. For my word will not go forth from me void, but it will accomplish what it was sent forth to accomplish. In other words, the seed is alive. You just need to get it in there. Leave it. It's going to do its own work. Oh, you mean I don't have to make a touchdown? No, just a touch. Just a touch. I was in the restaurant the other day, and the waitress came to deliver something, and I saw a little cross on her arm. So I thought, well, that's a good conversation starter. So I said, oh, that's a neat tattoo. I said, it's a cross. She said, yeah. I said, what's the significance of that? Because most people will put a tattoo on them to signify something, that means something. She said, well, my brother died a few years ago, and I put that to remind me to pray for him. I said, oh, that's fabulous. I said, do you go to a church? She said, no. I said, you need to go. You need to go, because there you will find the one who answers all prayers. And you'll find people whose lives have been radically changed. That's where that cross will lead you, to the people of God, the bride of Christ. And then together we'll make a difference, I promise. She said, oh, okay. Now, she may have gone back and thought, that guy's a kook. But after a while, I bet God will bring that back to her remembrance. I bet she'll start thinking about that. Do you understand? Just plant the seed. That's it. Just a touch, not a touchdown. Just a touch. And when you do, God will take it from there. The Bible says, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And so that's a mandate of heaven. I thought, I'm going to do that. But what about mandate of man? I think God's mandate trumps everything else. Secondly, it says that Jesus actually went out and laid hands on the leper and touched him. That was a mandate from the Sanhedrin that you cannot do that. It was a restrictive thing. If you did that, it would render you unclean. Jesus said, forget it. My love for this man is much stronger, and love always trumps man's thoughts. Let me ask you, if you had a little baby girl or little baby boy that had a contagious flu or something, wouldn't you, because of your love, still hold that baby? Hug that baby. Oh, ma'am, that baby might be contagious. Like, get out of my face. Isn't that true? Love trumps anything else. And that's the kind of love that God wants the body of Christ to have, the bride of Christ, to say, no, the love of God says, I don't care. I'm going to lay hands on this sister. I'm going to lay hands on that brother. Why? Because a miracle is about to happen when I follow the mandate of the scriptures, not the mandate of man. We understand that, but God's ways are higher than man's ways. And I thought, you know, we need to start doing that, because there's people that come in here that are struggling with personal stuff. They've got a void in their heart. And God might just be saying, lay hands, just give them a touch to let them know that they're loved. Let them know that I'm here for them. And something will, bang, start to happen. Why? Because we're afraid? No, because we love. And the Bible says, here's the greatest commandment of all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. Yeah, love trumps everything else. And that's why we come under the Word of God. And that's why we say, this is my Bible, the Word of God. And I boldly declare that this is the highest law in the land. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I do what it says I do. For I am a citizen of heaven. I'm here for a brief moment, and so are you. We want to make sure that we fulfill what God has called us to fulfill. And he's asking us just to just a touch, just a nudge. I want to finish with a story that I've told before, but let me hazard to share it again because it's so descriptive of this. A natural, just a touch. I was with my wife. We were with a couple and an elderly gentleman that was very quiet, very introverted. And we sat down for dinner, and so we had a nice talk, and we were chatting, and this waitress came by, and she took our order, and just before she turned to leave, he just touched her like this. She said, "Excuse me," he said. And so she turned around, and he said, and out of the blue, I didn't know where he was going at first. So he's sitting right here, and he looked at her and said, "What do you want to be in life?" I thought, "What?" And she said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, you're a waitress here. Is your goal, your dream, to be a waitress?" She said, "No, sir. My dream is to be a nurse. And I'm working here just to make money so that I can continue my education." And he said, "God puts dreams in people's hearts. Do you know that? God does. And that's what he created you to be." He said, "Pursue that. Pursue that, would you?" She said, "I will." He said, "Can I pray for you?" And by this time, I'm thinking, this isn't church, dude. But it was so natural. It felt like it. It was so natural. "Can I pray for you?" And she said, "Please." And a very simple prayer. He said, "Lord Jesus, I pray that this wonderful young lady's dreams will come to pass. And when it does, she'll remember that you're the giver of dreams and you're the fulfiller of dreams. In Jesus' name, amen." And when I looked up, she had big tears coming down her face. And she said, "Thank you. No one has ever done that for me before." That's just a touch. Very natural. And I thought when it was done, everybody's waiting for Jesus. Everybody's waiting for a touch, an encouragement, an affirmation to give them confidence. Why? Because God put eternity in the heart of every man and woman out there. And look at us. Christmas is coming, and they say that Christmas is one of the two times in the year where people's hearts are most open to the gospel. Make this year's Christmas services an invitation-only kind of deal, where there's someone out there that's waiting for a touch, waiting for Jesus. Invite them. That's your seed. Invite them. And it may be the very first time that they will have heard the gospel in a parable form. And one day, they'll come back, and when they raise their hand, you'll look back and say, "Lord, thanks for encouraging me to plant that seed," because everybody is waiting for Jesus. Your spouse is waiting for Jesus. Your son, your daughter, your neighbor, and the people that you're going to meet at the grocery store, at the gym. God may have placed you there intentionally, and you'll see a conversation starter. Just plant a seed. That's it. And you're done. That word, that seed, is alive, and it will start to grow. The Holy Spirit is going to partner with you. Remember, he said, "I'll be with you even to the ends of the earth." The Lord says, "You plant it, I'll get it growing. I'll do my part, you do yours." And we're going to work together. That's why it's called the Great Commission. It means we do it together. We're commissioning together. The Lord says, "You do your part, bride, I do mine." And you watch, you wait. You'll see the many souls that will be in heaven because you understood that everybody is waiting for Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to a message entitled "Everyone's Waiting for Jesus" by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. As we leave you today, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
Everybody is waiting for Jesus. And I bet you could walk over and say, "Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. I don't want to bother you at all. But I was just praying for everybody here." And the Lord just kind of marked you out to say that he loves you and he knows what you're going through and he cares.
In a moment, a heartfelt message from John Tilton. But first, once again, here is Pastor Wayne.
Mele Kaliki Maka. This is Pastor Wayne Cordero, wishing you a very Merry Christmas, and may this year indeed find you near the manger.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Here now is Pastor John Tilton of New Hope Oahu.
This is Pastor John Tilton, Senior Pastor at New Hope Oahu. On this Christmas, as we celebrate the Christ child, may our posture be, glory be to you alone, King who reigns from a manger throne. Our lives, our praise, everything we own, to Jesus, a King on a manger throne. On this Christmas, may you make an effort to grow ever so closer to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and to truly love him, the Christ child. And if you don't know him, receive him as your Lord and Savior. Well, Merry Christmas and have a Happy New Year from us here at New Hope Oahu.